This is Morning Edition from NPR News. I'm Stephen Skeep. Disney CEO Michael Eisner took the stand for a second day of testimony in a closely watched trial in Georgetown, Delaware. At issue is the costly hiring and firing of one-time Hollywood superagent Michael Ovitz as president of the company in the mid-90s. Some Disney shareholders contend that members of Disney's board at that time should pay for their mistake. NPR's Kim Masters reports.
Michael Eisner had to walk a fine line yesterday, testifying that it was reasonable to hire his erstwhile friend, Ovitz, in August of 1995, and equally reasonable to fire him just 14 months later. He had to argue that Ovitz failed, but not in a manner that would have enabled the board to deny him a severance package worth $140 million. Under questioning from his own lawyer, Eisner laid out his version of the story, which differed in some key respects from Ovitz's account. For example, Ovitz has testified that he was blindsided when two of Disney's top executives refused to report to him from day one. Eisner said Ovitz knew in advance that at least one of these executives wouldn't report to him, but conceded that this executive relayed his position to Ovitz in a very abrupt manner.
Michael knew it, but it was so cold and so quick that even I was, like, shocked.
Eisner said he hadn't really thought through the reporting relationships at the company's top levels.
I wish I'd handled it better because I would have advised Michael before the fact, just go with the flow, it'll all work out. And it did all work out, but it was tense.
Exactly when it was working out is not clear. From early on, Eisner said Ovitz's style didn't fit in at Disney, creating what Eisner called a bad vibe. By spring of 1996, Eisner said, Ovitz only wanted to take on whatever tasks Eisner was doing, rather than taking on day-to-day duties that Eisner didn't want to handle. Ovitz's desire to make a big splash at Disney clouded his judgment, Eisner said.
He had lost, frankly, the confidence of the people that worked for him. He wasn't managing them that well. He was off on a separate mission, which was very self-centered to make himself look good. He was acting very un-Disney-like.
Eisner disputed an account by oilman Sid Bass, then Disney's largest shareholder, that Eisner wanted to fire Ovitz within just 5 weeks of hiring him, but held off because he feared Ovitz would commit suicide. Eisner acknowledged that he did become concerned about Ovitz's mood, but not until May of 1996, when the two spent what Eisner described as a terrible weekend in New York. The two men went to see the musical Rent, but Eisner said Ovitz was morbidly preoccupied with a story then in the news about a military figure who committed suicide after his credentials were questioned in the media.
He was obsessed with it, so I got very nervous. I remembered a poem called Richard Cory that I'd read in high school. This guy who everybody idolized, he walked down the street with his bowler hat and his cane, and everybody envied him, and the last line is, one sunny day he went home and blew his brains out.
Eisner's concern about Ovitz's feelings were eclipsed by the time the two men attended Eisner's mother's funeral a few weeks later. Eisner said he learned secondhand that Ovitz made what Eisner called a giant scene outside the chapel on Fifth Avenue in New York when a car blocked the hearse. Eisner called this another final straw in his growing disenchantment with Ovitz.
And that kind of precipitated me thinking about my own mortality and the person who was in line at Disney, and I just thought, I have to inform somebody that this cannot be my replacement.
Eisner said he tried repeatedly to convey to Ovitz that things were not working out at Disney. To his dismay, Ovitz repeatedly vowed that he would make the situation work.
It was unimaginable to me. If somebody said to me they didn't want me around, I would be out of there halfway through the first sentence. It was unimaginable to me that I was talking to Michael Ovitz about leaving, and it was as though I was talking about the weather. I couldn't get him to address it. It was unbelievably frustrating.
Eisner eventually fired Ovitz in December 1996. Today, attorneys for the shareholders will try to dispute Eisner's contention that Disney had no grounds that would have enabled the company to avoid paying out that rich severance deal. Kim Masters, NPR News, Georgetown, Delaware.